Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 14th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to study the things that are occurring around us as we note that your prophecies are being fulfilled. We thank you that you have brought us to this place and given us the strength to observe this, and we ask that you would continue to strengthen our faith that we might stand with you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today I'd like to continue to take a look at the redefinition of the phrase religious liberty, which has taken place so quickly in the last few years. Today I want to take a look at an article found on USA Today, and it was published June the 25th, 2019. The title, the writer of the article is Michael J. Stern, S-T-E-R-N. That's Michael J. Stern. And the topic of the article is the Trump Justice Department has turned religious liberty into a license to discriminate. Let me repeat that title for you. The Trump Justice Department has turned religious liberty into a license to discriminate. Here's the article. Last year, the Department of Justice announced the formation of a religious liberty task force, to most, a task force dedicated to ensuring the free exercise of religion, must have sounded like a good thing. But having spent 25 years as an attorney for DOJ, I recognize a Trojan horse when I see one. I knew what the department's seedling held in its belly. In the lead-up to the formal creation of the Religious Liberty Task Force, Department of Justice was working hard to maintain President Donald Trump's evangelical base. In September 2017, the Justice Department backed a Colorado baker's claim that religious freedom allowed him to violate an anti-discrimination law that prohibited him from rejecting same-sex couples as customers of his wedding cake business. The next month, Department of Justice published its Principles of Religious Liberty. These rules guide all federal prosecutions and declare that, except in the narrowest circumstances, the Justice Department will side with a claim of religious liberty, even if it conflicts with laws prohibiting discrimination or securing the separation of church and state. Since then, the Justice Department has wasted no time furthering its efforts to promote religious liberty. And that's, of course, the new definition. When a Christian pregnancy center challenged a California law requiring notice to patients that state-funded services could be used to terminate a pregnancy, the DOJ backed the Christian pregnancy center. In other cases, the Justice Department threw its weight behind Christian students' efforts to force Maine to pay tuition for attendance at a private religious school. A Christian student who complained that a Georgia college was too restrictive on where he could evangelize on college property, and a Christian student group challenging the University of Iowa discipline for allegedly discrimination against a gay student. Though the Supreme Court punted on the substantive issues at stake in the wedding cake issue, the High Court handed DOJ a win on the pregnancy center when the president's conservative appointee Neil Gorsuch sided with the DOJ in a 5-4 ruling. While the Trump Justice Department has bent over backward to protect the religious liberty of countless Christian organizations, its efforts have been less charitable to non-Christians. When a Native American tribe raised religious objections to a South Dakota pipeline that would infringe on sacred lands, DOJ offered no support. And in a pivotal case pending before the Supreme Court, the Justice Department contradicted the Obama administration and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's position that the 1964 Civil Rights Act prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of LGBT status. The Justice Department has backed employees who want to fire their employees for being gay. Since formation of the Religious Liberty Task Force, A pattern has emerged in which DOJ uses claims of religious liberty to further Trump's administration's political goals. Daniel Mock, director of the American Civil Liberties Union's program on freedom of religion and belief, aptly described the Trump Justice Department this way. He says, "It supports an unfounded, unprecedented religious license to discriminate, and at the same time, the administration is indifferent or outright hostile to faiths and religious individuals with which it disagrees, anything that is non-Christian." Perhaps the most complete illustration of Mack's allegation is the Scott Warren case that ended in a hung jury this month. Warren provided food and water to two undocumented immigrants he found hiding in the bathroom of a barn used by a humanitarian group in the outskirts of a small Arizona town. The group is known to leave life-saving supplies in the desert borderlands, where people often die while crossing the border. Warren let the two immigrants stay in the barn for several days. For this, the Justice Department charged Warren with crimes that carried penalties of up to 20 years in prison. When Warren defended his actions by asserting that his religion required him to help people in dire need, Department of Justice turned a blind eye. In a contest between the president's hardline immigration policies and a humanitarian action intended to save lives, saving lives lost. If the first year of DOJ's Religious Liberty Task Force had taught us anything, it is that there is a little more than pretext at the core of its policies on religious freedom. Columbia University law professor Catherine Frank, who assisted with Warren's defense, cut to the heart of the matter. The Justice Department is interested in only protecting the religious liberty rights of those who are religious conservative Christians. As the Justice Department continues to deploy religious liberty to push the Trump political agenda, the challenge for DOJ will be what to do when a hotel owner relies on his religious beliefs to deny a room to a black couple, or when a corporate CEO says the Bible portrays women as subservient and claims that his religious liberty is violated by anti-discrimination laws that force him to employ women. When cases like these rear their ugly heads, and they will, watch for the Justice Department to manufacture a legal fiction that exempts blacks and women from the wholesale surrender of civil rights that affects all minorities. Blacks and women have too much political power for DOJ to withstand the public outcry that would come with subordinating their liberty to a claim of religious freedom. It's the gays, the Mexicans, the Muslims, and the bathroom-swapping transgenders that religious conservatives still stand a chance of barricading below deck. The most telling evidence of DOJ's intent behind its religious freedom campaign will come when the barrel of religious liberty is aimed at its most strident supporters. What will DOJ do when the owner of the most trendy restaurant in Washington, D.C., asserts a life of biblical adherence as justification for his refusal to serve well-known adulterers in Congress or the White House? Or when a football player who is fired for taking a knee demands that DOJ sue the team owner for violating the player's freedom of religious expression? Before Trump co-opted the Department of Justice as a tool of the White House, it was considered a champion for victims of discrimination, not a shield for the discriminators. But that was another time. The Justice Department has morphed the right to freely observe the religion of one's choice into a full-fledged right to discriminate. And with it, the Department of Justice is actively killing decades of laws designed to protect minorities who continue to suffer popular subjugation. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. The Justice Department's religious liberty policy is sugar in a child's mouth at bedtime. The decay of civil rights will not come all at once, but it will surely come. And of course, that's the end of Michael J. Stern's article. And his article is entitled, "The Trump Justice Department Has Turned Religious Liberty into a License to discriminate. So you see how the reinterpretation of the phrase religious liberty now means the religious liberty can be used by anyone to discriminate against anyone. That was not the way it used to be. Here's another article found in the Patheos website. That's P-A-T-H-E-O-S, the Patheos website. And this has been published on July the 31st, 2018. The writer of this article is Michael Stone, and the title of it, Trump Administration Defends Violence Against LGBT in Africa as Religious Freedom. The title again, Trump Administration Defends Violence Against LGBT in Africa as Religious Freedom. Here's that article. Christian values. The Trump administration invokes religious freedom in defense of African countries that criminalize homosexuality. In yet another move advancing Christian bigotry and hatred, the Trump administration is signaling they will no longer punish or denounce African countries that punish LGBT citizens for their sexual orientation, punishment that often leads to imprisonment and or death. Speaking at the State Department's Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom, held in Washington, D.C. earlier this week, Mike Mulvaney, a former Republican lawmaker and current director of the Office of Management and Budget, announced that the Trump administration will no longer press countries to abolish their draconian anti-LGBT laws. Mulvaney defended the practice of criminalizing homosexuality as an issue of religious freedom, claiming that such discrimination and abuse represented Christian values. In his remarks, Mulvaney attacked the Obama administration for using taxpayer dollars to promote women's rights and LGBT rights in Africa. During his remarks to the conference, Mulvaney said, "Our U.S. taxpayer dollars are used to discourage Christian values in other democratic countries. I was stunned to hear that my government was under a previous administration would go to folks in sub-Saharan Africa and say, we know that you have a law against abortion, but if you enforce that law, you're not going to get any of our money. We know you have a law against gay marriage, but if you enforce that law, we're not going to give you any money." That is a different type of religious persecution that I never expected to see. I never expected to see that as an American Christian, that we would be doing this to other folks. I am here to let you know there are many people in our government who care about these issues. There are a lot of people in this government who want to see things done differently. They want to do something. That's right, according to Mulvaney, and by extension, the Trump administration, denying women access to reproductive health care and criminalizing homosexuality represents Christian values, while punishing and rejecting homophobia is religious persecution. Mulvaney's implication that the Trump administration would turn a blind eye to anti-gay persecution around the world is consistent with actions it has already taken. For example, last year the U.S. rejected a United Nations resolution condemning the use of death penalty to target LGBT people. The administration's excuse was that it didn't want to appear to oppose the death penalty in other matters. Attorney General Jeff Sessions also announced earlier this summer that the U.S. would stop granting asylum to people who are victims of gang violence or domestic abuse and would likewise add many other barriers to the asylum process. LGBTQ people fleeing persecution in their home countries already wait years to find safety in the U.S., and these new policies will only make it harder for them to escape. Trump is not and has never been an LGBTQ ally. His administration's latest move to literally put the life of African LGBTQ in danger for the sake of political favor with American evangelicals further demonstrates that. Bottom line, the Trump administration has given a green light to the criminalization of homosexuality in Africa, a move which will result in the death and suffering of countless innocent LGBT citizens. But don't worry, according to the Trump administration, this death and suffering will all be justified by Christian values and religious freedom. So you see, quietly, these things have changed completely. And now the concept of religious freedom now is really what it means is the insistence and the application of Christian values. And anything else, you can move against it, criminalize it, and ultimately punish the people who are engaged in that kind of behavior. It's not just a matter of the fact that you have the freedom to not accept a religion. Now you don't have that freedom anymore. Religious freedom means something entirely different now. Finally, let's take a look at an article in the Daily Kos. That's Daily Kos, published August the 3rd, 2018. The title of that article, Trump Theocrats Claim Abuses Against Women and LGBT People Are Christian Values. The title again, Trump Theocrats Claim Abuses Against Women and LGBT People Are Christian Values. If Americans are the least bit doubtful that the Trump theocrats are on a White House-sanctioned global crusade to spread their savage version of Christianity, a recent announcement at the State Department should disabuse their reservations. It is not a revelation that evangelical extremists yearn for an executive order from Trump asserting that punishing women for making their own reproductive choice is exercising religious freedom and legal. It is also common knowledge among cognizant Americans that part and parcel of the religious right's definition of religious freedom is brutalizing the LGBTQ community according to their Christian values. Now it is an official policy of the Trump administration intent on imposing the evangelical extremist style of religious freedom around the world. Notice where? Around the world. And any opposition to that imposition of religious freedom is officially described as religious persecution. In yet another move legitimizing the evangelicals' rights, bigotry, and hatred, the Trump administration sent a clear signal that Christian America will no longer denounce countries that punish LGBT citizens or women for taking their own reproductive health choices. In fact, going forward, nations that embrace religious-driven hatred leading to imprisonment and or death of LGBTQ people and abuse targeting women will be rewarded by Christian America because Christian-inspired hatred and bigotry exemplify Christian values, according to Trump theocrats. During an atrocity in the secular nation in Washington, D.C., the Christian Values Proclamation came during the State Department's ministerial in advance religious freedom. The Trump theocrat honored to tell the world that Christian bigotry and hatred epitomize America's values was the Director of Office of Management and Budget, Mike Mulvaney. And of course, we read in the other article what he said. Mulvaney's announcement entailed attacking the Obama administration for threatening to withhold foreign aid to countries that punish women and members of the LGBTQ community. The evangelical rights war on women and gays is now a global crusade sponsored by the Trump theocrats pushing a brutal version of religious freedom according to evangelical extremists. Now, this is a global crusade that has been foretold in the Word. And Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12 says that the United States of America will cause the entire world to worship the first beast. You and I see clearly what is happening here. And these three articles ought to let you know that the establishment of God's word is accurate and true. It will just be a few moments before you ultimately hear that other laws will be passed. Laws concerning worship. Laws concerning a day of worship. And then suddenly there will be another group that will take center focus. Those who refuse to accept that day of worship law will ultimately be brought under the note of the entire world. And those who are in control of the then world will make their move to ban us from the entire globe, from the entire planet. But God has promised, and you can read about it in the Great Controversy, chapter 40. The title of that chapter is God's People Delivered. God has promised to protect those who stand with him and for him. God has promised those who are committed to the truth and who are not afraid to stand for that truth. Today we need to practice doing that which God has called us to do. We need to ask God to give us the strength that is necessary. We need to surrender ourselves to Him so that He might transform us and restore us and transform us into that which we ought to be as His children, so that we will be able to stand and that we will be able to be the kind of example to the world of what God desires to see His children be. Heavenly Father, we thank You again today for Your word and for all that You intend to show us. We thank You for Your promises given so many years ago. We thank You that You continue to show us around here every day the fulfillment of those prophecies. We know that we cannot stand alone. We know that we cannot do this on our own. And so we ask that You would give us the strength that is necessary so that we will be able to stand with You and for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, August the 14th, 2019.